And I'm going to jump in here because Governor Jay Inslee is just stepping up for a 1 o'clock press conference. No idea the agenda, but we take you to Olympia Live here on the Dory Monson Show in 97.3 Cairo FM.
We are taking as a state are having a positive impact. We should be happy about that. And that's why over the weekend we were able to return 400 ventilators to the national stockpile, where other places that are having a more severe shortage in their medical system can use them, as well as 300 beds that have gone back to the national stockpile. And we hope the other states that are being so hard hit can do well by them. We know we're in this together, and I want you to know that your efforts as Washingtonians of staying home and social distancing are being noted around the country, and it's a reason to be proud of our state. We know this process is slow, it is methodical, and I'm glad we are committed to it, lock, stock, and barrel. But we need to understand this. We are not out of the woods yet. We simply have to continue staying home, have to continue social distancing, because all of the progress we've made to date could be wiped out if we retreat from this effort. Now or in the future. By the way, I just saw on one of the television stations carrying this news conference a picture of a grocery store. And they were telling a really good story, which the grocer had limited the number of people coming into the store to increase social distancing. And we really appreciate grocers and other businesses who are doing that. But one thing I noted is that a really goodly number of people in that store were my age and older. And we need those folks to really stay home right now. And for those people, you know, over the age of 65, or if you have some compromised health condition, we really want you to stay home. Ask a friend, ask a neighbor to do shopping for you for the upcoming weeks. We really care about you. We want you to see your way through this. And if we keep this group of people in our arms and embrace them and do grocery shopping for them, we're going to have a lot of grandmothers and grandfathers who will be with us in the years to come. And so I hope people will take that to heart. So now I want to turn to our economic efforts to help us rebuild our economy and weather this storm. We're planning a long term for how we're going to come out of this, both as a public health crisis and as an economic challenge. And obviously we need to do that because hundreds of thousands of Washingtonians are applying for unemployment insurance as we speak. They're worried about how to make rent, their house payments. They're wondering if their businesses are going to survive. It's a tough time for a lot of our fellow Washingtonians. So for the moment this crisis began, we've been working diligently with state and federal lawmakers to try to rebuild our economy. Over the last month, the state has hired hundreds of additional workers to process the industrial insurance claims that we know are already coming. We have waived the one-week waiting period so we can get cash to people who are unemployed as fast as humanly possible. We've expanded the state family emergency assistance program to provide more cash assistance to families in need. So our list of resources has continued to grow, and we're convening work groups with industries and like construction and others to see what we can do to help the economy. And today I'm pleased to announce additional steps we're taking. But I'll be blunt about this. What we're going to talk about today is only just a start of what we need to do. We know we have a long economic recovery ahead of us. We're going to have to be intense in our efforts. We're going to roll out every tool at our disposal while we're expecting federal assistance as well. So we're making some steps today that you might think of some short-term steps with many larger and more aggressive steps to follow. But we want to do today what we can do to help Washingtonians across these troubled waters. First, we know we have thousands of people who have put their lives into small businesses, and we want to help them through this period. Therefore, we're opening the application process for an emergency $5 million grant program to help small businesses who've been impacted by COVID-19 and the stay home, stay healthy order. These Working Washington small business grants are provided through the Governor's Strategic Reserve Fund, and they're administered by the State Department of Commerce. The grants will provide up to $10,000 for small businesses that have under 10 employees. And businesses can use this money to pay rent, utility bills, supplies, inventory, and other operating expenses. To apply for this grant, if you're interested, you can go to coronavirus.wa.gov. That's coronavirus.wa.gov. And we hope people can avail themselves of this. We have targeted small businesses of the people who have most difficulty weathering financial storms. And we look forward to these small businesses continuing. Second, we want to make sure that everyone has access to economic assistance. So I'm announcing the Department of Commerce is providing a business resiliency assistance program that is partnering with a variety of organizations to help out. We want to make sure everyone has access to the benefits that could be available. So the state is partnering with the Tri-Cities Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Tacoma Urban League, Spokane's Inland Northwest Business Alliance, and Seattle Chinatown International District Preservation and Development Authority. Partners are doing a variety of things, including some translation services to get access to assistance. And we're particularly glad about this because we saw a lot of Asian American restaurants hit hard because people mistakenly thought that ethnicity played some role in this was just simply wrong. So I'm glad we're helping these businesses, particularly restaurants, if there's a way to keep going. Third, we want to help our businesses access federal assistance. So if you're a small business, a nonprofit, an independent contractor, or a self-employed individual in need of financial help, you might be eligible for a forgivable loan from the U.S. Small Business Administration. And our office has worked with our federal congressional delegation and others to partner to enable this program in Washington State by requesting an SBA disaster declaration in early March that opened the door to these benefits. Beginning last Friday, local banks began taking these SBA applications, issuing forgivable loans. Now, these are obviously in high demand. And it's caused some frustration nationally in how the federal government is being administered. But we need Washington businesses to keep applying so that our states isn't leaving federal relief dollars on the table. So there is frustration, but we got to keep those applications coming in. For more information, you can go to www.sba.gov, www.ssandsamba.gov. And we hope these initiatives together can help soften the economic blow of this virus. But I want to stress this. We know what we're doing today is not enough. This is a huge challenge to us all, and there is much more we are going to need to do. I'm also encouraging other individuals with legal issues to check out the Office of Civil Legal Aid. That program can help unemployment compensation, eviction and foreclosure, and as you know, we've put a moratorium on evictions for non-payment of rent, family safety and domestic violence, debt collection, consumer protection, and a variety of other issues. And you can find help there at OCLA.wa.gov, OCLA.wa.gov, or at WashingtonLawHelp.org, WashingtonLawHelp.org. Additionally, my office and leading nonprofits in the state today launched a fund to support the state food banks as supply levels have dropped. We expect about 1.6 million Washingtonians to approach food banks for assistance this week alone. And that's double the number that have sought help from food banks in any given week. So I hope you might give consideration to helping to that at the Washington Food Fund. And you can find that at www.wafoodfund.org. That's www.wa, foodfund.org. This is going to be one of the most efficient ways to get resources to these food banks. I also obviously want to offer the possibilities of helping our restaurants survive. We can all buy gift certificates that could be used a little later after we reopen. We want to keep these small businesses going. Just to give you some ideas, some of the other work we've done, we have now dispersed $120 million out of the $200 million emergency fund allocated by the legislature. And of that, we've had $10 million go to our Department of Agriculture to purchase food and distribute food to other nonprofits. We've had $5 million in our Department of Commerce to assist 29 of our federally recognized tribes, and $30 million to our Department of Health to cover state and local government costs associated with the outbreak. Those efforts are going to continue. Lastly, I'd like to reiterate something we really need to do right now, and that is to respond to the U.S. Census. You know, we've got a long recovery ahead of us, and the more Washingtonians that answer the census forms, the more funds we will have available in the state of Washington to help on all of these services that we need across the board. So that's one patriotic thing everybody can do, is to answer that census fund. That's going to help our state long term, big time. Now I'd like to introduce, we have some folks to answer questions or may speak. Department of Commerce Director Lisa Brown, Clallam Economic Development Development Council Director Colleen McAleer, and Executive Director of the State Commission on Asian Pacific American Affairs, Toshiko Hasegawa. I might ask on Colleen, would you like to make some comments?
Yes, thank you very
much. All right, and as Governor Inslee starts to introduce some of the other people at this event who are all on via Skype, I'm going to jump in on this, but what you just heard, I just got to be honest with you, that was nothing. And I said at the beginning of the show, I said at noon, that while the federal government has announced, and there are some problems with just printing money, but I think we have to do something extraordinary to prop up our economy in extraordinary times. And so the federal government has $2.2 trillion that they've allocated to people who are unemployed and to small businesses. And I said, I really want to hear from the governor, what is he going to do economically for our state? And what I just heard, I'm just pulling up a calculator. I didn't know he was going to start going to his other guests. 52,000, 52 million, 52 billion divided by 5 million. Sorry, I have to do this live on the air, gang. But the governor basically announced that they're going to have a $5 million grant program for small businesses in our state. And he said that you could get up to $10,000, but it's only for businesses that have 10 or fewer employees. And so that's a very small, I mean, at most, what would that be? 500 businesses that could be helped by that, which just a drop in the bucket. But $5 million, oh my goodness, it is worse than I ever dreamed. That represents 0.0009. So in other words, what's that? 9/100,000ths of 1% of our state budget. No, that's wrong. 9/1,000th of 1% of our state budget. That's what we're doing to help the economy? 9/1,000th? Of 1%. I'm doing this on the fly. If you want to check my math, it's a $5 million grant program, and the state budget is $52 billion. What the governor needed to announce is something substantial, something more than that. 9/1,000th of 1% of the state budget is what he just said is going to be our economic recovery plan, and it'll only go to businesses with 10 or fewer people. And then he said, well, he's been blasting the federal government for the last several weeks. Then he said, and we will help you get money from the feds. Hey, Governor, if they're competent enough to open a small business or a medium-sized business, and the mountain of paperwork and online documents that you have to file in a state that is so abusive towards business, then they can probably figure out how to apply for the federal money without the state of Washington having to be their intermediary. And then the third thing is, he said they want to fund the food banks, and he asked you and me to make the donations so it wouldn't cost them anything, apparently. That's not an economic recovery plan for the state. We'll help you access Fed dollars. We'll contribute 9/1000th of 1% of the state budget to help small business. Governor, you got to start cutting this budget. You got to tell us how you're going to trim $5 billion, 10%. We're going to see an economy that might contract by 20 or 30%. In this economic calamity. And as I've been talking about from the beginning, the private sector last week in Washington, 185,000 people filed for unemployment. Government has not shrunk one iota. Nothing. Now, we might see a little bit with the Sound Transit contractors who are finally been called off the job as of yesterday. Oh, a lot of them are private contractors who just contract with Sound Transit. But as far as the size of government, if the economy contracts 20 or 30%, you're absolutely going to have to shrink government by a significant amount. If you shrink it by 10%, then you got $5 billion to help people. Your tax revenues are going to crater because the economy is cratering. You have to start preparing for that. But this is what's going on, gang. And if you do not see through what is happening, then you really got to get your head out of the sand. Jay Inslee and his party that controls the legislature, for decades, their holy grail is an income tax in Washington state. And they are going to try to use this economic crisis to achieve their ultimate dream of a state income tax. They are not going to suggest cutting government by a penny. Even though every small business has to, every medium business, every large business is going to have to make massive cuts. REI, did you see about REI? The announcement there? And look, they're, you know, any brick and mortar retailer has all kinds of fundamental problems, but REI is going to keep its stores shut, and they're going to furlough most of its workers for 90 days. Their CEO has announced he is not going to take a paycheck for the next 6 months. How about that, Governor? Why don't you not take a paycheck for the next 6 months? How about you have your presidential campaign pay back the taxpayers the millions of dollars we spent on State Patrol security detail? That's what the Montana candidate did. He paid back the taxpayers of Montana. Is there anything left in your campaign coffers? Or did you, like a good politician, make sure every last penny was spent, even though it was a dead campaign? Any chance of paying back the taxpayers those millions? A $5 million grant program? That was only announced just now. In a state with a budget of $52.4 billion. Oh, my goodness. And this is what I have long feared, that when a true crisis hits, and when we elect people not for their core competency, but because of the letter next to their name, then it's going to be incredibly problematic for the people. You know, if a natural disaster were to hit, if an economic disaster of this sort has hit, and this isn't what's going to lead us out. You need somebody who's willing to stand up to his campaign donors, somebody who's willing to stand up to the teachers union, to the other labor unions, who's willing to stand up to the people that he thinks got him elected and say, hey, look, we cannot continue to do this in these unprecedented times. We're going to have to make some serious, painful cuts at the state level. Every private sector business is making deeply painful cuts right now. And if you, Governor, continue to play politics with this, instead of taking the economics of the situation seriously, then we're screwed. And you have no hope of leading us economically. And the businessman that you despise so much in the White House has done roughly, I was going to say a billion times more, but it's more like 400 billion times more than what you're doing economically for the unemployed and for the businesses that are teetering on the brink. Feds are coming up with $2.2 trillion, and Jay Inslee says we're going to have a $5 million grad program for businesses with 10 employees or fewer. That's unbelievable what we just heard. This is a governor who does not care about his state's economy. He does not care about making tough decisions about cutting government. And, oh my gosh, he does not want to stand up to any of the people who got him into office. And you and I are going to pay a dear price. We got to get this economy rolling again, and we got to get people back to work. And what I just heard is that you're going to allocate 0.09% of the state budget to help 500 businesses. Unbelievable. All right, you heard it live right here on Cairo. We're also expecting a White House Coronavirus Task Force presser at 2:30 this afternoon. We'll bring that to you live as well. Okay, I got to lower my blood pressure. I need something fun. I need to play Name That Artist. And thankfully, it is Tuesday. And Dave Wyman will join us coming up next as we continue here on...
Bangles?
I know this.
The Bangles.
No, Dave. No. So sorry.
Damn it. Kim Wilde? Is it Kim Wilde?
No, but that was a wild guess.
I get it. I think we're alone now.
Yes, she went on a major mall tour circuit back in the day.
Oh, Tiffany.
Oh, of course, Dory.
Was it Tiffany?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Are we trusting each other that one of us isn't looking up things on the internet?
Dave, I guarantee you, when Sean said a major mall tour, that was all I needed to hear.
Oh,
no, I wouldn't,
you're all
Dave,
about going
I wouldn't
to the mall.
Do that to you.
I know it.
That was hurtful.
Stop it. Oh,
I bring.
You're fine.
I bring you on for good times and rock and roll. And you just start off being all hurtful. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm fine. How are you doing?
You okay? I'm fine. I'm glad we can find... Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. I just, I'm trying to better myself, Dory, and it's not working.
How so?
Trying to come out of this thing on top. Well, I'm just, you know, it's just, you like to eat... You know, sometimes you find comfort in alcoholic drinks, beverages, and I'm trying to get away from that right now. So, yeah.
Are you really? While you're sequestered at home?
Yeah, I saw the other day that, like, in the first week or two of the quarantine, that alcohol sales went up, like, 55%, something like that.
Yes. Yeah, they've been spiking.
Wow.
You know why? Because nobody's driving, and often... Because often driving is the great restrictor of people because they still have enough common sense to not drink and drive. So if everybody's cooped up at home and they know that they're not going to be behind the wheel, they have nothing else to do except get blotto.
Yeah. Well, and just nothing really, matters. I mean, like Shannon and I told, I mean, I'm doing a radio show, obviously. It somewhat matters. This morning, she's like, what time is it? I'm like, why? Who cares? I mean, we could get up at 11 and go to bed at 3 in the morning if we want. I mean, there's really no constrictions of any kind time-wise right now.
No, I know. So there are a couple of things that I've been
being very down.
Well, there are a couple of things that I've been trying to do. I've been, in all seriousness, trying to work on my faith, because we've been doing the online church services, and I've been doing a little stuff. I've got a couple of apps that I really like, so I have a little time when I'm not commuting an hour a day for things like that. And then I'm just trying to do a better job of staying in touch with friends. And so I was writing a goals list on Friday night, and I just started making a list of people I haven't talked to in weeks or months. And I just put aside time to just call and check in and catch up with people. And so those are the two things kind of that I'm proud of that I'll toss out to you as possibilities.
Okay, well, my son actually sent me his pastor did an online thing, and so he sent me, it's like a 25-minute clip of a sermon that he did where he's just sitting on his couch. And so, yeah, I'm going to check that out. The other thing, I'll say this, I sat out on the front porch the other night, and there's not a soul, not a peep, anything out there. Everything's so quiet right now, my gosh. But I just sat there, and I thought back through my lifetime and all of the friends that I've had, going back to like Chuck Hall in the fourth grade, and all the way up through, you and Paul and, and so that's been very helpful to me. That's really cool. And I'm not trying to be too corny because, I'm usually not that way. And I don't know if people are buying it, but it's true. I've been thinking about that kind of stuff. So yeah, you're right. Working on your spirit is a good thing.
That's very sweet. Okay, so in the world of sports, they've canceled, the British Open has been canceled, the Masters has been moved to November. Major League Baseball, here's what I'm hearing, Dave, possibility of an 81-game season, and all the games would be played at empty stadia in Arizona. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, well, I have not heard that one specifically. I mean, I've heard lots of different things, but we talked to Ryan Divish, who covers the team for the Mariners, and every time we talk, there's different news that comes out. Here's the one thing about the golf tournaments that I don't understand, and this happened with our tennis court down here, where they closed the tennis court. So my wife and daughter like to go there. Now, they're living in the same house. And when they play tennis, they're going to be like 50 feet apart, but yet it doesn't matter because they're cooped up in the same house. How come you can't go to a tennis court? That doesn't make sense to me. And then the same thing with golf, don't have the galleries there and just have the players go and play. And, you're going to be a pretty long distance away from each other and just have a total minimal. I mean, you're out in the great wide open. I'm not sure. Well, I'll be interested to see when they finally do that, because I think right now nobody wants to be, if somebody, they do have something like that, somebody comes away with the coronavirus, then it's just going to be, everybody's going to be on them. So everybody's kind of waiting out, but it'll be interesting to see when they finally go, okay, hey, you know what? We can do things like that. Cause I'm watching people walk up and down my street here, and they're definitely closer to each other than my wife and daughter would be out on a tennis court. Or people on the golf course.
It's so funny you mentioned that, because my wife was just bringing that up to me last night, because we have a couple schools nearby that have tennis courts. And as you know, my wife and all my daughters play, and they're closed. Yeah. They've got signs saying that they're closed. And I think that's what a lot of us are having problems with, that I think staying at home is a good thing. I think this mitigation is necessary to a certain extent. But let's have some common sense. They tell fishermen, Tom Nelson, my dear friend, he can't go salmon fishing in Puget Sound right now because they've closed that down, even though there's nobody within 100 yards of you alone on your boat. It just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and also I get on the other side of that, I'll say I have the very strong, feeling that we don't want to blow this now. I mean, we've gone this far. It's starting to, the curve's starting to flatten and everything. So you don't want to blow it now. And the other thing that bothers me is the people that are finger pointers. We get them on the text. Jim, said he went golfing. It was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And they're like, shame on you, Jim. What's the matter? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God. If we're going to get the finger pointers and the shamers out of this thing, it's just another chance for somebody to scold someone because they're superior morally. That part really pisses me off.
All right. We are talking with Dave Wyman. You can hear him every afternoon from 3 to 7 on 710 ESPN Seattle. What do you got for us, Sean? Sean DeTore.
This is Whitesnake.
Boom, Dave. I knew you'd get it.
Dang it. I knew that one. All right. We're tied at one. It simply doesn't get any closer. When it comes to name that artist, Dave Wyman and I do not employ social distancing. And we'll continue our conversation with Dave in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show.
George Michael.
Wham!
Dave, you got it. George Michael.
Sure it's not Wham?
I'm pretty darn sure.
Who is the other member of Wham? I think it was something, Andrew Ridgeway or something like that. Okay, Dave's got a 2-1 lead. Well, so's George Michael. But
I cannot stand it when people have
flash.
When people have two first names, it drives me nuts. I can never remember their names. And
that's the beauty of me. I have zero first names.
Yeah, exactly. I can always remember you. The running back kills me. The rookie, Travis Homer.
Which one?
I want to call him Homer Travis. I was a big Simpsons fan. Always want to call him Homer.
What do you think about football? I'm hearing more and
I like
more,
it.
Dave, that it might start in empty stadiums in the fall.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at Larry Stone's strong reaction to the MLB, saying that he thinks it's dangerous, possibly. And I love Larry. We'll see. I mean, I think they're trying to be positive as far as, playing, like you said, a 81-game season. And, I don't know how that would work. But, boy, I have imagined what it's going to be like if there is no NFL season right now. But I think it'll be interesting to see if there are some games that are played without any crowd, because Larry wrote in his article, Seattle Times, what about the nose to nose arguments between the managers and the umpires? And he was talking about how Lou Piniella would have to kick dirt 6 feet away from the umpire. But what about the language, man? I mean, that's one thing. I mean, you're gonna hear all of that, and so I just wonder.
Oh, that's
gonna,
true.
is it going to be censored, or are they going to, before you go in, say, hey, you're probably going to hear some things? I know in a football game, you're definitely going to hear a lot of that.
Well, maybe they'll do like what they did with that XFL and just tell everybody you can't swear because we got you hot mic'd during the games.
Yeah, that sounds like a good strategy. Hope is not a strategy. Hey, guys, I hope you don't swear. Good luck with that.
That's right. But it would be so weird. But my guess, is that, I've been saying if they don't have a vaccine, I don't think they're going to want 60, 70, 80,000 people congregated in the same place. And so then, you know, but the NFL's going to want, because they have a gigantic TV contract, and there will be a huge appetite for sports fans by the fall. And I think they would play in empty stadiums.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I we talked about this on our show the other day, and, you know, I brought up the fact that, you know, back in my dad's day, you know, when he saw his friends, I mean, they shook hands, but you never saw, like, the bro hug or anything like that, or anybody, you know, guys didn't tell each other, hey, I love you, and or I love you, man, and, you know, doing the hug and everything. It makes me wonder if, like, are we going to start to get away from that? Like, how long is it going to take for people to get back to that point where you're not just going, here's the coronavirus, you know, fist bump, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're bringing it in for the real thing. I mean, I just wonder if that, how much that's going to change, and how long is it going to be until you see fans shoulder to shoulder slapping high fives with each other? I mean, that's, yeah, it's it just right now, it's hard to imagine that everything would go back to that, but, you know, of course, it will. But I mean, it's just very, there's a lot of questions, you know, and honestly, I have to say that I really do want to see more than a few sporting events without the crowd there, just to see, you know, what it's like and what you're going to hear and how different is that going to be. I was just watching, my favorite sporting event I came up with, Dory, was the 1992. It was a grade eight game between Duke and Kentucky, where the guy hits the runner at the end of overtime, and then 2.5 seconds or 2.1 seconds, and Christian Laettner, you know, turns around and throws up that, you know, that wild shot from about, you know, the top of the key. And the place just goes crazy. I mean, what's that going to be like if there's no crowd there? I mean, the guys are all going to be, you know, screaming and yelling.
It's so funny you mentioned. I just watched that about 3-4 nights ago. I watched the ESPN 30 for 30, I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yes.
And that was a big part of it. Yeah, which is one of my favorite 30 for 30s. And I, by the way, love Christian Laettner. I loved the way he played.
Too.
I loved his attitude. I loved that he was such a winner, man.
Oh, Carole King.
Whoa, Dave Wyman for the win.
Dave!
Yeah,
I thought it was Carly Simon. I thought about Carole King, but I thought it was Carly Simon, and I couldn't pull the trigger. You've done it again, Dave.
Wow.
You're dominating 2020.
On a roll. I'm the coronavirus Name That Tune champion.
Your musical vision is 2020.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Hey, by the way, in that game, Christian Laettner, perfect. 10 for 10 from the line, 11 from 11 from the floor.
Yeah, that's clutch right there. All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7 on Bob, Dave, and More. And you hear him every Tuesday right here. Have a great show this afternoon. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
Carole King. How'd he beat me? I'm Carole King. All right, big lead of two is coming up next.